Kalpa Trubhyas Chakripa Sindhu Bheva Chapatitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are in Canto 11, Chapter 4, in which Drumila, one of the Yogendra sons of Ashabadev, is now explaining to Maharaj Nimi the incarnations of the Lord. And we're starting at text 5. He's described the Purusha avatars so far. So now in text number 5, he describes the Guna avatars. So here it says, in the beginning, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Those words are down at the end. Purushaha sa adya. The original Supreme Personality of Godhead manifest as Brahma. In the Sanskrit, it's Shatadriti, which is glossed as Lord Brahma. It means one who has 100 sacrifices. So that's Lord Brahma. So he manifests Ado in the beginning. He became Shatadriti, Rajasa, Asya Sarge, who by the mode of passion it was engaged in the Sarga. Sarga means creation of the universe. And then Vishnu. Vishnu is mentioned. Vishnu Stitao. Stitaha means maintenance. So he's in the maintenance. And here Vishnu is called Kratupati, means the Lord of Sacrifice. Kratu is sacrifice. Pati. And he's Dvija Dharma Setu, the protector of the twice born and of Dharma, as Vishnu. And then finally, he's Rudra for Apayaya, for destruction or annihilation through the mode of ignorance, Tamasaha. So that Purusha, the original Purusha, Iti, in this way, Udbhava Stiti Laya, again, Udbhava coming into being, Stiti maintenance, and Laya, destruction. So this way he appears among the created beings, Satatam, perpetually. So that's those are clearly the guna avataras. You may, before I go on, let me just refer you to Bhagavatam 2739, where here Brahma is speaking. He says there, in the beginning, Sarge, in the beginning of creation, Tapo, there's myself and penance, and Rishya and Navar Prajeshaha, the nine sages who are the Prajapatis. So in the Sarge, in the next line is Stane, and then during the maintenance, so at the beginning of creation there are penance, Tapaha, because Brahma he does this, myself, he says Aham, I'm there, and the Prajapatis, who are the great sages who generate. Then during Stane, there's Dharma Maka Manu, Amara Vanishaha. There is Lord Vishnu, Maka, Dharma, religious principles, Manu. And the demigods with controlling powers, and Manu here, the kings of different planets. The Manu is there, Amara, the demigods, and, oh, I see, Avanishaha, the kings of different planets. And then Ante at the end. So it's Sarge, Stane, Ante, one after the other. There is Adharma, irreligion, Hara, Lord Shiva, Manu Vashaha, Asura Adayaha, along with the Asuras and so on, who are all enraged. All of them are different representative manifestations of the energy of the Supreme Power, the Lord. They're called Vibhutayaha, Vibhuti. So that's another description of the in the beginning there is Brahma and the Prajapatis and the Rishis doing the maintenance, Vishnu, the Devas, the Manus, the saintly kings, and in the end there's Lord Shiva and destruction, full of anger. Nice three-part description there. So this verse is kind of is a similar construction. So there's some interesting things here. Sridhar Swami says in the purport, is quoted in the purport as saying that that the Lord is the Adikarta, the original, the first doer, which implies that there are others who are also deputed doers or agents of the original doer. As pointed out in the second paragraph here, that interestingly enough, the mode of goodness is not actually, Vishnu is mentioned, but the mode of goodness is not mentioned. Because actually, although he takes charge of the mode of goodness, you see, but Lord Vishnu is really never in the mode, he's not affected. To some extent, Brahma and Shiva become tainted by their association with the mode that they control. But Vishnu doesn't come under the control of any modes to any degree whatsoever, and his situation is Vishuddha Sattva, the transcendent situation. The spiritual world is goodness without any connection with passion and ignorance. So naturally, takes some control of the material world, the mode of goodness is his natural place, because that's the transcendent mode now being manifest in the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, there's no passion and there's no ignorance, because there's no creation and there's no destruction. Everything is eternally maintained. So Vishuddha Sattva. So some of that sattva is in the material world, otherwise it couldn't even exist in any way. And so he takes charge of that, but he remains on the transcendental platform. Then in the next paragraph, in the commentary, in the purport, Jiva Goswami is quoted to point out that when it says the word Kratapati, the Lord of Sacrifice, this is also talking about the Lord's appearance as a Leela avatar. We've been looking at the Lord as a Guna avatar, Guna avatars. Now he's now also a Leela avatar, both. Because here, his Suyajna. This is in the second canto, seventh chapter, which is called Scheduled Incarnations with Specific Functions. Suyajna is mentioned there, or sometimes he's called Yajna. There in 2.7.2, I'll read the translation. The Prajapati, named Ruchi, first begot Suyajna in the womb of his wife Akuti, and then Suyajna begot demigods, headed by Suyama, in the womb of his wife Dakshina. Suyajna, as the Indra Dev, so he later he becomes Indra, diminished very great miseries in the three planetary systems, and because he so diminished miseries of the universe, he was later called Hari, by the great father of mankind, namely Swayambhuva Manu. Hari, you may know, means one who takes away. So because he removed here in his incarnation as Yajna, the miseries of man, the universe, that's where he retained his name, Hari, according to the second canto of Bhagavatam. So here it says in the purport how he is it says as Dvija Dharma Setu, the maintainer or protector. Setu means bridge, but it also can be like a dike or a wall or something like that, I guess, which protects or guards the Dvija and Dharma Setu. He says these are not occupational duties, but lila. He doesn't have to do it personally. So he's this lila avatar. Okay. And then also in the purport goes on to mention the appearance of Lord Shiva from between the eyes of Brahma. Okay, so now let's go on to text 6. Now, as I mentioned before, from 6 through 16 is all the description of a pastime of Narayan Rishi. And that's really struck me as interesting because Dramila is giving very terse answer. Nimi had asked to hear about all the avatars, past, present, and future. Dramila says, it can't be done. Only an idiot or a childish person would think you could do that. So I'm just going to give you a brief description. But literally half of his description is 11 out of 22 texts are about Narayan Rishi. And this really, really struck me because it just seems so weird. But I found out why. I did some research in the Bhagavatam. And so we'll get into that also. Maybe we'll talk about it today before we go on. So here he begins with chapter 6 about Narayan Rishi. It says here, here it's very interesting, Narayan Rishi are actually twins. You don't get a description of what they look like until the 12th canto. But they're twins. One of is Nara, the best of the human beings, Shuddha Jiva, and the other is Narayana, Narayana. And in Bhagavatam, it's mentioned that this Narayana appeared as Arjuna and Krishna, Krishna being Narayana and Arjuna being Nara. Nara means a human being, and Narayana, the resting place of all beings, is where one way it's construed. And so there's two of them, but usually they're spoken of in the singular. I think in one place I found the dual case being used, but usually they're spoken of as here. See, Narayan Rishi, who is perfectly peaceful and the best of sages, was born as one, but as we'll see, as the son of Dharma and his wife Murti, the daughter of Daksha. Daksha, this is described earlier in the Bhagavatam. This appearance is also there in the Bhagavatam. Where Daksha had 13 daughters, and one of them, this Murti, he married to Dharma. And so they had this twin sons, it says earlier, they had twin sons, Narada and Narayana. So then it says here, they taught devotional service of the Lord. Well, no, notice what it is they're teaching. Rishi Pravara, the best of sages, Prashantaha, perfectly peaceful, nice karmya lakshanam, characterized by nice karmya. That's been something of a theme, the sensation of material work. He spoke and performed karma, but remember in the previous section what was being taught as the idea of karma was actually Pancharachaka Vidhi, or the worship of the deity of the Lord. So they go on to say, he is living Narayana-tat devotional service of the Lord, by which material work ceases, this nice karmya, and he himself perfectly practiced this knowledge, karma. He is living even today. His lotus feet are served by the greatest personalities. Now, if you look at the then they go on to tell this particular pastime. Drumila goes on to tell this particular pastime of which doesn't is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, also in the same chapter 7, scheduled incarnations with specific functions. That's 2.7.6. 2.7.6 and 7 really are about Narayan Rishi. And so 2.7.6 says to exhibit his personal way of austerity and penance. This is particularly associated with the idea of austerity and penance. To exhibit his personal way of austerity and penance, he appeared in twin forms as Narayana and Nara in the womb of Murti, the wife of Dharma and the daughter of Daksha. So that's the first, his appearance. And then in this summary, celestial beauties, the companions of Cupid, went to try to break his vows, but they were unsuccessful, for they saw that many beauties like them were emanating from him, the personality of Godhead. So here, what we are starting today is where this pastime is further described. Otherwise, you don't hear about it at all in the Bhagavatam. Although in the fourth canto, his appearance is further described. Let me find it. Hold on a second. Here it is. It's there's a list beginning in 4159 of the daughters of Daksha, and then at the end of this list, it says Murti, a reservoir. Then they're all married to Dharma, all 13 daughters. And then Murti, the reservoir of all respectable qualities, gave birth to Sri Narayana, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the occasion of the appearance of Narayana, the entire world was full of joy, everyone's mind became tranquil, and thus in all directions, the air, rivers, and the mountains became pleasant. In the heavenly planets, bands began to play, and they showered flowers from the sky. The pacified sages chanted Vedic prayers. The denizens of heaven, known as the Gandharvas and Kinnaras, sang. The beautiful damsels of the heavenly planets danced, and in this way, at the time of the appearance of Narayana, all signs of good fortune were visible. Just at that time, great demigods like Brahma also offered their respectful prayers. And then Deva Utsuhu, there's some prayers Let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the transcendental personality of Godhead, who created his external energy, as his external energy, this cosmic manifestation, which is situated in him as the air and clouds are situated in space, and who has now appeared in the form of Narayan Rishi in the house of Dharma. Anyway, there are a few more verses of prayers. So this is the appearance is described there in the fourth canto, and then of course the pastimes is now described, will be described here. Narayan show up very importantly right at the beginning of Bhagavatam 1-4, where the verse is Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayam udhyayat. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest or victory, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being. That's really Narayan. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam. That really describes Narayan. Narayana and Narottama, the best of the humans, is Nara, and Narayan Rishi. And then to Devim Sarasvatim and to Vyasa. So you can see from this shloka that Narayan are also kind of very closely associated with the Bhagavatam. And because when you recite this verse before reciting Bhagavatam, they're first of all mentioned. We don't find out exactly why until we get to the 12th canto, 4th chapter. I'm reading from 41-43. So listen to this. Long ago, this essential, I'll just read the English, anthology of all the Purana Samhitam, was spoken by the infallible Lord Narayana Rishi to Narada, who then repeated it to Krishna Dvaipayana Vedavyasa. My dear Maharaj Pritchard, this is Sukadev speaking, that great personality Sri Vyasadev taught me the same scripture, Srimad Bhagavatam, which is equal in stature to the four Vedas. That's why it's regarded by us as Shruti and not Smriti. O best of the Kurus, Sukadev continues to Maharaj Pritchard, the same Suta Goswami who is sitting before us will speak this Bhagavatam to the sages assembled at the great sacrifice at Naimisharanya. This he will do when questioned by the members of the assembly headed by Shaunaka. So there you have a disciplic succession for Bhagavatam appearing first through Narayan Rishi, then to Narada, then to Vyas, and so on. This is the Parampara of Bhagavatam itself. So this way there's a close connection, among other things, between Narada, who's, remember, is talking this whole